Charles Spurgeon, who was known as the Prince of Preachers, once said this about the Bible. He says, "I no more try to defend the Bible than I would try to defend a lion. I simply let the lion out of the cage, and the lion defends itself." And that's really true about God's Word. If you let God's Word free in your life, God won't need to be defended, or His book won't need to be defended. You'll find the Lord defending you in life's trials. In fact, as Bruce sang, there's a scripture that the Apostle John wrote, if we have somebody who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So in our trials, in everyday life, God would come and defend us and be our strength. And His love is very strong and cannot be defeated. So to know God in the Bible, and why should we trust the Bible, taking a look at that as an opportunity to grow as believers. Last week we looked at some external evidence on why we should trust the Bible, you know, things around the Bible that show that it has reliability, even from a human point of view. There's truth in the Bible we won't find anywhere else. When historians look at God's Word, they say, wow, this is incredible. This was written really close to the event that it is describing. And that adds a lot of credibility to God's Word. Some of the best Bible scholars say, for example, the New Testament was completed before 90 A.D., and some even say before 70, depending on how they look at the destruction of Jerusalem. But the Bible was written by 40 authors over 1,500 years, you know, big time span, 66 books. It's like a library of truth. And all the books have a unified theme and one main character. We don't want to miss that. If a loved one of yours sent you a letter pouring out their heart, trying to tell you who they are and their love for you and closeness to you, you would really want to hear what they were saying in the depth of your soul. You wouldn't want to necessarily do this, and sometimes we do this, and I think we get off track when we do it. You wouldn't say after reading that letter, you know, I noticed on page 3 you mentioned the word sing twice. And on the next page you mentioned the word prayer. And on the last page you mentioned the word sin 4 times. So apparently you want us to sing and pray and stay away from sin. Well, thanks for the information, you know. I got it now. I am an expert on you, you know, how you feel about me. At that point, we're not seeing the forest for the trees. Okay, when we look in the Bible, Jesus said, these scriptures, you know what the purpose is? Tell you about me. They tell you about me. So that's the focus, that we want to meet the Lord when we read the Bible. The main character of the Bible, Jesus is Lord and Messiah. Jesus is Lord and Christ. So get to know Him in it. Talked about the Old Testament being the Messiah predicted, the New Testament being the Messiah revealed. He says, here I am, born in Bethlehem, dying on Calvary, reaching out to you. And Revelation is the Messiah anticipated. But please come soon. We look forward to this. Our lives won't be really the way they should be unless we're next to you in heaven or you come back to be with us. So, Messiah predicted, Messiah revealed, Messiah anticipated. And it's good to remember anytime you get lost in the Bible, like sometimes we do. You know, we're reading something and what does Leviticus have to do with Revelation? You know, I don't know. What does Proverbs have to do with John's Gospel? Need help with that one. So remember, when we get lost in the Bible, always return to the main character, Jesus. Okay, that'll get our compass straight. We'll be able to hear what God wants to tell us in there. I mentioned last week, too, very intelligent people have said the Bible is the Word of God. Great men of science in the past, Galileo, Isaac Newton, Blaise Pascal, George Washington, Carver, all had their lives changed by God's Word. So there's people who are much, much more intelligent than you and I who say, well, the Bible is reliable and the Word of God. You have people graduating from Harvard and Yale who believe the Bible is the Word of God. Okay? So our IQ is not too high or too low. It's not a matter of our mind. It's a matter of our heart as to whether we want to meet God in His Word. It's not a matter of our intelligence. It's a matter of our willingness to obey. Do we really want to know God? And God's power can change us. It reminds me of a story of Sammy Dagger, who's a pastor in the Middle East. We saw the Middle East video here. I think he's Lebanese background, but he serves as a pastor in Lebanon and Syria, two very rough countries. And one day he was driving his car through Syria, and he was stopped by some Syrian soldiers. And they said, you know, get out of the car. We have to ask you questions. Who are you? Where are you going? What's your business here? Any weapons in the car? And Sammy Dagger said, tells him his name and says, well, I do have weapons in the trunk. Weapons in the trunk? What kind of weapons? Dynamite. I have dynamite in the trunk. So the soldiers go, open the trunk. Opens the trunk. He has boxes of Bibles in the trunk. And he says, this is the most powerful weapon on earth. And this can change your life, you know. And the soldiers, well, they admire his courage. Take your Bibles and go your way. You know, he's just letting people know, hey, God's Word really can comfort the widow, give courage to the weak, strengthen the faint-hearted, and mostly introduce us to Jesus, our Savior. Assure us of forgiveness of sins. Boy, is that a daily need that we have? The Bible can help us with that. And so outward evidence of the Bible, the reliability. I want to talk about the inward witness of the Bible. What did people in Jesus' day and people in the Old Testament feel about the Scripture? You know, what was their gut response? Did they say, well, you know, it's optional? Or where were their hearts at about that? I get real excited when I hear how people in the Old Testament and Jesus viewed the Bible. The Apostle Peter, for example, he said this, which we heard read, no part of the Scripture is the result of the will of men. In other words, this just wasn't people's opinions. But people, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote as from God. Okay, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, what God wanted said, He got said or written by the people He was working with. So you had fallible people. You know, they had sins like you and I. Fallible people like Isaiah and Peter and Paul, John. God sent through them an infallible message. Many of the New Testament writers were eyewitnesses of Jesus. And so that helped their credibility. Carried along by the Holy Spirit to the extent that whatever the Bible says, God says. Did you ever hear someone say, boy, you know, well, who's to say what's right and wrong? Without hesitation, I think we say, well, God says what's right and wrong. And He tells us in His Word. And just be as clear as day about that. And if there's doubt, just say, open and read and see if it God talks to you with the credibility of the Bible. Peter said the Bible, in a sense, has just one interpretation. It's not a matter of people's own interpretation. So if you read a passage, the plain sense of the passage, God can speak to you there. Okay, we have children who were, you know, 6 years old, find comfort, strength in the Bible. We have PhDs who are 70 years old, find faith in Christ in the Bible. The Bible's available to us. And God would use people both to write and to hear. God can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. If you want to know, can He change my life with the truth that's true for everybody? Yes, He can. And, boy, He's great at doing that. The Apostle Paul, how did he feel about the Bible? He said that Scripture was God-breathed. So God tells us exactly what we need to know. Job is a good example of how to revere the Word of God. He said this. He said, Lord, I desire Your Word more than my daily bread. And he was really hurting. But he knew if God would speak to him, things were going to be okay. And that's the attitude we're to have, I think, approaching the Bible. I'll share this as personal testimony. And it's only by God's grace. If I come to the Bible and if I say, Lord, I really need to hear from you. I need help. I need to know your love, your direction. More than 95% of the time, God steers me toward himself in a good, clear way. And I walk away and say, thank you, Lord. That was what I needed. Okay. God is faithful if I am hungry. If I'm not hungry for God, if I go to the Bible and say, well, I better read the Bible. You know, somebody told me to do that once. I want to be a good pastor. You got to read the Bible. I hope I get something out of it today. You know, it's a very confusing book at times. I don't know if I'm going to get anything from this. When I go to the Bible like that, 95% of the time, God does not speak to me. He pretty much says, hey, you're not interested in what I have to say. You're not interested in my heart. I'm going to speak to those who have ears to hear. Remember, Jesus mentioned that a number of times. And so, ask for a heart like Job when opening God's Word. You know, Lord, help me to want to hear from you just like I'm getting pretty excited about lunchtime or whatever is in your tummy there. Has God spoke to you every day this week? No days this week. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry I'm having a hard time hearing you now. Can you help me? You know, make it more clear. I'm a slow learner. Whatever you want to share with him, he'll be faithful and he'll pull you through. Isaiah, the prophet, said this. This is his view of God's word. He heard God say, just like the word would go forth and always make an impact, always, you know, do something for a person towards God. And he said, people come and go. They're like the flowers of the field. But the word of God stands forever. And I thank the Lord for a tremendous amount of human advice I've received over the years. But so much more truth and wisdom from God's word. And most of the time, the good advice I got from others came from the Bible in some manner. And so to be hungry for God's word. Solomon said, every word of God is flawless. David said, it's like a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Jeremiah said, Lord, your word's like a fire in my bones. We need God's help for that. We have fire about a lot of things. Fire is passion. And interesting, the dynamic of passion in your life. When you split your passions up, your passion for any one thing is pretty low. When you have one focused passion, and from that, you begin to serve in other areas, your passion is it's very strong because it has a one source, an eternal source, which is make Christ your passion in his word. That's what Jeremiah said. And then one testimony from Jesus. He said, the word of God cannot be broken. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you want to have that in your soul. On Wednesday, it rained big time and the wind blew. And some people were in the rain for a while and they got soaked in a matter of, you know, 10 seconds. They were soaked. And that's a big difference than being in a little trickle when it's outside and a little mist and, oh, yeah, I got some wet on my clothes or in my hair. But to be soaked by God's word, we want to ask God to do that for us. It requires us having an open heart, opening the word and seeking God in it. We had a superintendent once talk to a bunch of pastors in a pastor's meeting, and you know, we were all excited. Wonder what he'll talk about, you know. How to grow this over here, how to make this happen with the church, and how to do a little organizing, you know. You know what he came and talked to us about? Having devotions on a consistent manner. In other words, you open the Bible every day, and you say, Lord, this is my strength. I don't have anything to say unless you speak to me and tell me something. And that's the way you and I live. To say, okay, God, by the grace of God, I seek you in your word. And just the story of a power of God's word in closing. There was a wonderful professor, had a couple of PhDs, but he was very agnostic about the Lord. He wasn't sure whether the Lord could help him or not. And a very well-educated man. Pastor went to visit his family and just said, well, can I, great being with you, can I pray for you? He said, go ahead, it won't make any difference. You know, just an honest guy who said, I don't believe most of that. He would come to a church about once a month just to keep his wife off his back. Some of you guys are into that. But he would always come and sit in the balcony, and he would never really look at what was going on in worship. The choir was there, the preacher, and he's pretty much like this the whole service. You know, just like, it's almost over. And one Sunday, the pastor says he was preaching about, he can't even remember what. It was something about the Lord. And in the middle of the sermon, he happens to quote this verse. He causes me to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, and that he is talking about the Lord. So the man's sitting there, and then he hears this. He causes me to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And it was God speaking to his heart in a one-on-one situation. Before the service was over, the man really said, I need Christ. I want to turn to him and follow him. I realize I have no paths of righteousness without God. And so the beginning of a turnaround for that man. And what was it? It wasn't even a salvation verse. It was just the power of God's word, sharper than any sword, you know, that would hit us and say, boom, and yet bring healing and help to our lives. Would you, as God's people, and me as a follower of Jesus, say, you know, Lord, help me meet you in your word. Help me to go to you daily, like daily bread. And I end with the same question I asked last week. What happens to a person when they look in the book? God's holy book. What happens? What happens to a church when they look in the holy book? What happens when the nation looks in God's holy word? Oh, wonderful things happen. The song says, wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest. Jesus loves me. And might we know that as we go. Could we pray together as his people?